So we are going to have kids with us today. So if anyone, I don't think anyone still is going to nursery, but if you guys want to do that, you're welcome to. But the rest, we're going to have kids in with us. I'm really excited about our time together.
You're going to tell a story about what Darby drew yesterday? I don't know if you should start there, but...
Well, why not? It was so fun. So we had a meeting in our house last night with some of our key people at Desert Outpouring. And we kind of played some fun games listening to the Lord, and we shared our hearts, and it was a really great time. And it got kind of long, I'll just be honest with you. I always feel like I want to cram like 10 hours into like an hour and a half, and it's not like, well, it... Anyway, it wasn't three full hours because we didn't even start until like 5:40, but anyway. And so the kids also, we asked them to be a part of it because this is their church too, and there's no junior Holy Spirit, and so we knew that God was going to speak through the kids just as much as the adults, and we were really excited about that. And so, hey, as we're adjusting, would it be easier for you guys if your kids were sitting with other kids? Would that be better or not as good? I mean, we're just so flexible here. We can, like, fly as we go. What do you think? Well, that's okay, but
fantastic.
My daughter's a fun kid, and they can come up being here. Yeah, she needs to
come
sit by Darby.
That's fine. If not, that's okay, too.
With Gavin and maybe Abraham, and we can scooch Jackson around. Okay, we're good with whatever you want to do. We just wanted to facilitate because we know it was kind of a last-minute adjustment to have kids in with us. So we just want to be, okay, yay, yeah. We'll do pictures. It's going to be awesome. So kids got to share some really cool things, which was really, really fun. I know that when we were first talking about learning how to do a multi-generational service and what that would look like, which, by the way, was absolutely terrifying to me, one of the really encouraging things that we had was Taylor had a dream. Where is Taylor? Right here.
She
didn't know that we were entirely thinking about a multi-generational service, so she didn't even know that, but she said, I had a dream and kids and adults were all together in the same room. And I was like, shut up, I don't want to hear that, la, 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 la. But I love that our kids are getting to be a part of this. And so we asked Darby if she had anything to share, and she was like, well, you know, and so she shared a couple things, and then she was coloring the rest of the time, which we were totally good with. And I was gonna bring the picture, but I totally forgot to bring the picture, because the minute I saw it, you weren't there. The minute I saw her picture, I'm sorry.
She does this for no reason all the time.
I know. I looked at her picture and there was like a field of green and people all together. I could see that in chairs in a field of green, and there were flames back behind, and there was clouds with rain coming down. And I always see rain as the Holy Spirit. Rain is always restoration and renewal to me. It's always like whenever I see it start to rain, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's literally like falling on me. And then there were people. You too. Jocelyn was me too. There were a couple people standing amongst this crowd, and they had flames on top of their head. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I don't know, how many of you like grew up in the church? Anybody else grew up in the church, right? So you've been hearing these crazy stories, right, from the Bible since you were little, probably, right? And many of you are familiar with the Pentecost story, right, of the Holy Spirit rushing through the room of the disciples and falling on all of the people there with like tongues of fire, right, resting on their head. Well, when I was like 8 years old, I read this story, and I decided I wanted that. I wanted like flames on my head. So I'm just gonna full disclosure here to you, I have actively prayed for that experience probably 100 times or more, and sat in a room waiting for it to happen. That's a little creaky. But I was a kid, and then, you know, and even as an adult, I have still said, am I alone in this? I want to see physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Like, I like feeling the Holy Spirit. I like perceiving the Holy Spirit. But I want to see it. Anyone with me? So I, thank you. Right. So she drew a picture of a thing that's been in my heart since I was a kid. Wow. And I was like, yes. And then she wrote a description of this picture. And there was a pile of like gold stuff next to the people. And so her description was that the grass are all the people in our church, and that the rain is the Holy Spirit, and that the rain comes down and saturates the grass. And right, am I telling this right? And it restores and renews and refreshes the grass. And she said, and there's grass outside of like the place that rain is falling. And she said, so I think that it's maybe that Desert Outpouring will have many locations so that anyone who comes in contact with it will receive the rain and be restored, right? Is that pretty close to it? While we were talking, not knowing about her story, we were all talking in the room about how we are the desert, we are the desert output, we are the many locations. We are the source of rain.
Yes, not a multi-campus thing. We're not there quite yet.
No, I think we're like 2 weeks away from that, yes. Right?
We bring
the rain. It was such a cool thing. So I just thought that was really awesome. And then I walk into church, and I don't actually normally make it into the kids' room, but I was, because I was trying to darken the windows, right, for our fun flashlighting of it. I walk in, and what's sitting on the table but this.
Wow. So that's what Cool Water did this morning.
That's what Cool Water did this morning. And Greg goes, did you even know? Okay, should I even admit this?
Oh,
this
we are so horrible.
We're horrible. Pastors, by the way, just in case you didn't know this.
Like, we didn't go to pastor school.
We did not go to pastor school. And we clearly don't have the pastor's calendar.
We don't have the pastor's calendar.
We should probably.
There's some things that we should know.
There's probably some email updates we should get. We totally didn't even realize it's Pentecost Sunday.
Until I looked at one of the bulletins and I was like, oh, hey, by the way.
Our daughter was drawing
our daughter knew yesterday and drew flames. And we didn't pick up on it.
I kind of actually like not knowing and having stuff like that happen. I'll just be honest. I kind of like it that way. But I don't know if I'm going to get to see flames on top of people's heads physically. But I kind of still am praying that I will. And not kind of. Let me just be, because the Lord goes, really, kind of. You're kind of, yeah. Okay, so let me just, if you don't mind, open us in prayer. And I even felt like during worship, the Lord goes, draw the flames, and draw the container that holds us. And since I didn't know how to draw a person really well, because I know that we're the container of the Holy Spirit, I drew a crown that represented us. Ooh, and it's 4:44, because we're all coming into alignment. Yay! Awesome. So, Lord, I love how you blow through our lives. You blow into and you blow through our soul. And our spirit awakens. We awaken to our true selves. We awaken to our authentic selves. We awaken to our authentic life. We awaken to the grand love affair that you have with us. We awaken to how pleased you are with us. We awaken to who you say that we are. We awaken, Lord, to our authentic language with you, to our authentic relationship with you, and we see the world with new eyes. So, Holy Spirit, all I have to say is, man, there is a reason why you are my best friend. You rock the house. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that you, I'm so grateful. Like, I'm like, what's flipping through my mind is like five. Have you ever had like your life like flip through in like movie scenes, like ding, 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 you know, like a movie trailer, like the, you know, the little musical montage? I felt like that was just happening a moment ago. Anyway, I feel you, Holy Spirit, going, that's what I'm wanting to prove to every single person here, is where I have been in every single movie scene of their life. and that you weren't absent, you weren't missing, but you were there, living it with us, breathing it with us, and loving us in the midst of it. Oh, yay, amen. Amen. Yay. So.
What are we going to talk about today?
I was going to say kids for a vote. And those of you who haven't brought your children or haven't, you know, you will have to vote on yourself. Has anyone seen you fight? So kids, have you seen your parents ever fight over, yeah, right?
My children better be raising their
I think
hands.
This week they said, why do you fight? And I'm like, really, why? And then anyone else, has anyone ever seen you fight? And you're like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing, right? Right? No. So there are so many different things that we fight about. What is one of the things, just think about for a minute, that you fight about the most?
Being respected.
Ooh, man.
That covers a world of things, doesn't
Let's
it?
Let's just hit the nail on the head with that one. Should we just go with that?
Let's just go with that.
Let's just go with that. So, Mr. Greg and I had a thing that we used to have a fight about. And you want to know what it was? It was that he asked me to do a very simple thing repeatedly, and I kept not doing it. And that thing was, he asked me to, when I filled up the gas, filled up the car with gas, he asked me to write down, what did you ask me to write down?
Just the miles.
Yes, but two different kinds of miles, is that was what I, the...
Yes.
What are those called?
Well, there's the odometer and the trip meter.
There, okay. The odometer and the trip meter.
I really only need one. But I asked for both just
yes.
in case.
There's the numbers on the right-hand side of the gauge and the numbers on the left-hand side of the gauge, okay? He would ask me to write those down. And then he would ask me to push the trip meter back to zero and then, you know, put the put those numbers on my gas receipt and then give him the gas receipt because he wanted to keep track of the mileage. This is not a difficult thing. How many of you think this is a difficult, this is not a, right? Is this a difficult, okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, it's impossible. Look at that. Did you see this? I am not the only idiot out there. I mean, no. I actually said it on purpose. So I couldn't make this happen. I'm telling you, things went crazy at the gas station. Things went crazy. Kids had poopy blowouts. You know, other kids were spilling drinks. Who knew what was happening? Someone was honking behind me. I almost cut somebody off. I almost ran into a pole. I mean, things would happen at the gas station. I could not get those numbers on the gas receipt. Could not. And so, over and over and over again, we would get into a...
argument.
Yes.
Fight. Yes.
Yes. Because I would feel like an idiot, and I would feel frustrated with myself that I could not do this simple thing, and Greg would feel...
disrespected. She can't even do a simple thing.
Yeah. Right? Okay, these are the kinds of things, by the way, kids, just so you know, that end marriages. Writing down, right, I mean, honestly, right? You think this is such a silly thing. So, let's use our board. And Greg's gonna get out the marker. And we're gonna have our left and our right side of the board. Now, what are the conclusions that we could draw about this situation? If we were to listen to what the enemy had to say about all of this. So I need your suggestions. Think about it. In fact, you can even pull an index card out and write down four or five of the things. What does the enemy want to say about Greg and me in this situation? Raise your hand and let me know. Yeah.
Incompatible.
What else? I kept feeling stupid and incapable. What else?
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. What else? Have none of you been in this situation? I mean, seriously. Unreasonable. Thank you. Okay, that was where I landed. This is unreasonable for him to ask me to write these numbers on this receipt. Doesn't he realize what happens at the gas station with two little children? This is unreasonable. And, are you ready for this one? Pointless. Put it down. Pointless.
Sorry.
Write that down. It's pointless. Why?
Who cares? Who cares that we write these numbers down? Because it's not going to change our gas mileage. And don't you have enough details in your life to follow up in already? I mean, seriously. How many spreadsheets does one family need?
It tells you the manual how many miles per gallon you get.
Okay, what else? Anything else that you hear in this situation?
Resentment.
Ooh. Yes. Man, he just, he gets to the heart of it.
Yes.
Anything else?
It's a good unloved. Cross section. Unloved.
Unloved.
Mm-hmm. Division.
Now you think, this is a simple thing, right? It's just a gas receipt. But how simple is living with this? How simple is it living with feeling stupid, incompatible, disrespected, dishonored, over and over and over again? How easy is it to live with these conclusions in the middle of your relationship? It's death to a relationship. And you find yourself going around the same issue over and over and over again. And so you try to find a solution, right? Okay, so in the middle here, or somewhere, well, I did, right here, go right here. What are some of the solutions? And I need a different color marker for this. What are some of the solutions that we should have pursued? We'll let you know what we actually get. But what are some of the solutions that we should have pursued?
Phone app.
Okay, is there like a reminder or something, or what? And it does it for you? Oh, instead of writing it on your receipt, you write it on your phone. Okay, write it on your phone instead of on the receipt.
We had a...
Ooh! Take a picture of the thing. What was it? Take a picture of the thing?
And then text it to?
Genius. Good idea. If I had a cell phone, that would have been a good idea. Okay. Go ahead.
Just write it down.
Hey, you are talking Greg's language. Just write the darn thing down.
What?
That's your daughter? That's not your daughter.
I see you.
Okay. Just write it down. By the way, this was Greg's solution.
Just write it down.
That was Greg's solution. What else could we have tried? Yes.
Same thing. What's that?
Oh, have Greg always fill up the gas tank.
Yes,
we tried that. Have Greg always fill up the gas himself.
And I did.
And he did. So as to solve this problem. What else?
Tell yourself that it's what you want instead of what you want.
Oh, she's getting closer. Tell yourself you really want it.
Okay, we'll go the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, get over it. Okay, we tried both of these. Good. What else?
Counseling.
Counseling. That's a costly solution, but might work.
Counseling.
I mean, how many of you have, let's just, okay, in any relationship in your life, what was it?
A sticker chart.
Put it up there. I did actually put a sticky note on the front of my... By the way, sticky notes don't stick very well in Arizona in the heat on your leg thing, and you also can't see how fast you're going. But I did try putting a note to remind myself, write it. I mean, how bad can this be that you can't even follow your own sticky note? But I'd be 8 miles down the road going, oh, shoot! Pulling over, you know, going... Trick him, you know, and backtrack him, you know, 8 miles. And
she can't trick me.
I can't trick you. Because he knows to the mile what this should be.
What?
Okay. No, I don't.
Well,
it varies.
He would say, did you forget to put the trip meter back? And I'd be like, yes, I did. Because I didn't really go 700 miles on that tank. But how many of you have, in any relationship that you have, what you perceive to be a reasonable expectation, and it never gets done? Right? Anyone? A reasonable expectation and a constant failure. Okay, hold that in your mind. In fact, get a card out and write it down. What is your reasonable expectation? And then you just write constant daily right on the other side. Grab a card, grab a pen. Hand cards over. In your relationship, you have a reasonable expectation and a constant failure. Well, not a relationship with, you're in a relationship with your mom, you're in a relationship with your dad, you're in a relationship with a sibling, you have grandparents, kids can participate too, you have a brother, you have a sister, you have a mom. Darby, you have a reasonable expectation that I would snuggle you to bed every single night, snuggle you to sleep every single night. And I do not always do that. So, you have one, Abraham, what's yours? What? Nothing.
Oh, whatever. Really? I know about 50 reasonable expectations you have.
Okay. How many of you have unreasonable expectations you still want met?
Not me. All of my expectations are completely reasonable.
Right? Okay. So what happens when you have a reasonable or semi-reasonable expectation and it doesn't get met, what happens? You have junk that rips apart your relationship. In fact, you have something show up. So I'm gonna have Darby and Taylor come on up front here. And they're gonna be friends. Yay! Because they are friends, hooray. So they're gonna face each other right in front of the board. And they have like an expectation of friendship or whatever, and it didn't work out so much. And so what happened then instead is, Gavin, would you come up? Would you be negativity for us? Be negativity, come on up. Negativity is gonna press on this relationship, continuing to talk into Darby's ear, continuing to work its way around, and in fact, no, we'll just get another one.
Trash
Eli,
talking.
Or Abraham, come on up. Abraham, you're gonna, and now, you start to discover that you're not the only two people in the relationship. You now have multiple parties pushing on, and you can do this. Don't touch them, but just go, and now, even when they do good things, there's this noise happening around your relationship that filters all of your conversations. I mean, do any of us have any of this with our parents?
No.
Right? A little bit of noise, a little bit of something going on, pushing on our relationship because what? Because there's been hurt. Right? So, not so fun, right? Okay, thank you. Good example. I might try it back up. Okay? So picture now, on your card, you wrote down something where you have a reasonable expectation. You now have a third party in that relationship. And that third party is actively working to use you to hurt that other person and to use them to hurt you. So that both of you feel incompatible, incapable, stupid, disrespected, unreasonable, pointless, resented, and unloved. And so what we do, and divided, and seriously, I cannot trust you. So what we do is we try to find ways to fix it. Which then leads to what? A reinforcement, typically, of these things over here. Because we have now actually tried. Oh, this is just a little familiar for anyone. So Greg and I did several of these things. We did not do the phone app. We did not do the picture text. Genius, by the way, super good. Because that might have helped me. I don't know, pushing a button was too hard. So pushing a phone button might have been helpful. But just somehow. Counseling might have been good. We did not try that. We did not do a sticker chart. Just write it down. I attempted to that, was failed at it. Greg filled it up. We attempted to, but that
didn't work all the time. I did that every Sunday for many long years.
Tell yourself you want to do it. I discovered this is, who said this? You said this? This was really interesting. I didn't realize that my conclusion that it was pointless and stupid actually was causing me to have a challenge with it. So that was really cool. And then deal with not knowing what it is. So I kept telling Greg, stop just expecting me to do this and then we will solve this problem. But unfortunately, the negativity isn't the problem. The real issue is, good question. The real issue is, what is my opportunity? What does God want to teach me about who I am through these negative things? Because what we try to do is self-behavior modify ourselves into this. So there's, I'm going to like kind of put up a comparison and contrast. This is what the scripture calls our old nature. This is our inability to do things is our old nature. It's the sin nature. It's what died on the cross. In the middle is the self-help movement. I love the self-help movement. I have spent a few of my own dollars in the multi-billion dollar industry learning how to be a little bit better at performing and doing things better and thinking a little more positively. So by the way, I really love the self-help movement. But it only navigates you so far because it continues to address the old nature and tries to fix the old nature. And Jesus said, there is no fixing the old nature. There is only recognizing that it's dead and you discovering who you really are. And that is the Lord's perspective right here. Yay! So we needed to go to the Lord and say, what's really going on here? And here's what he said. He said, Greg is asking for something. And that thing that he's asking for is honor. To him, a gas receipt with numbers on it, accurate numbers, equals honor. You not doing it equals dishonor. You may not care about the gas receipt, but you care about honor. So every time you don't do it, this is how it is to him. For me, not doing it always made me feel incompetent and stupid and frustrated. So I asked the Lord, how do we solve this problem? So anybody want to jump in and say, how do you think it got solved? You think your dad knows? It's the Holy Spirit pointing you out. Yes.
You put not just one post-it note.
Right?
Every surface of the entire yard.
She took a hammer and broke the odometer. Problem solved.
That's a really good idea. Yes.
You started to understand that it was honor that you were looking for, then it changes your view on how you approach it. And so you're going to do it out of love for him by giving him the honor that he's wanting. So you're
right.
You're going to do it more out of love than out of resentment and contempt.
Okay. That was genius, and that's exactly what I thought. So he just said, I realize now that Greg wanted honor, so that would give me the fuel to be able to do it. Right? Okay, that's what I thought too. So now I knew that it was about honor, except for that I kept not doing it. And then I was even more frustrated. Isn't that crazy? So you get to a revelation and then you find you still can't break through. Has anybody had that happen in your life? You get to a revelation and then you're like, I still can't break through. I still can't break through this negativity. Why? I understand more what's happening in this scenario, but I still don't know why I can't break through. Okay, so genius, it was part of the breakthrough, but I still couldn't get my behavior to honor him. So I asked the Lord, what is the bigger issue? And I'll never forget, this happened at the Costco parking lot, which you know is never busy, never full, never has a million people waiting behind you who actually will honk, right? So I'm trying to get my Costco card in and out, the correct credit card in and out, because I had the wrong card, and get the gas tank in. I jump back into the car because it's really hot. It's like hotter than hot, you know, it's Tarzan kind of hot. And I hear this snap, and I have broken my brand new expensive glasses that I took off and put on the seat. So there's that frustration happening. I push the button to get the receipt, hop in. There is somebody actively honking behind me. I pull up, but I've got my pin in my hand, but then people are still honking at me to pull out, and I'm trying, you know how the arrows will only go in certain directions, like you can only drive in certain directions when you're going out of Costco, because we don't want it to be like optional. And I can't, like, I'm trying to pull over so that I can like remember to, you know, and I tell you, I pulled out, pulled around, and was halfway home with the receipt and the pin in my hand on the steering wheel. So I pulled over and I went, okay, what's going on? You had no idea that I cared so much. Right? So I said, Lord, what's going on? And he says, is it possible that there is an active force in your life making you forget? What? What? Is there something active in the atmosphere, in the earth, pressing on me to cause me to do something that would dishonor my husband? I can't imagine that that would be true, right? Because that only happens with serious issues. That doesn't happen with gas receipts. The enemy is only purposefully active in big stuff. Right? I was like, what? And he goes, there is something pressing to make you forget. And guess what? You were meant to overcome it. Dun, dun, dun. So I now have a new thing from the Lord, which is you were meant to overcome the thing that is causing you to feel stupid and incompetent. Because I tell you what, it's not just about the gas receipt that we all feel stupid and incompetent. Right? Aren't there other areas of our lives where we feel like a failure? We feel like we have repeated failures, failures that we can't seem to win in. Am I talking anybody's language? I see lots of nods, right? These repeated areas, whether it's stupid or whether it's significant, if you have a repeated area of failure, guess what? I'm going to just break the news to you right now. You were made to overcome it. You were made to overcome it. And you were made to release the very thing that it's attached to. This was attached to my identity. It is my identity to honor people, to honor humanity, to honor men, to honor my husband. That's a part of my identity. And I found it out through a gas receipt. Yes. So there's something actively operating to make me feel stupid and incompetent that I was made to overcome. And in that overcoming, I get to be something significant in the earth. So what that means is the thing that you wrote or are still thinking about in your life, the thing that you struggle to overcome, right? That you have repeated failures in, there is attached to it something that you were made to be in the earth that is God's goodness. Yay! That's the good news of the gospel. The challenging news in it is that most of your life, you have either been told to navigate around it, ignore it, or just check out of it completely and run away from it. Or you've been told to behavior modify your way through it, or perform your way through it. But you haven't yet stepped into the revelation of your identity that automatically overcomes it. I know I just yelled, but it was weird. I never do that. So would you put overcome? And that, oh, you did already. You're so good. You're so good. And that's the revelation, that negativity that the enemy doesn't want you to have. Does not want you to know the secret about who you are. Because that little piece about a gas receipt has so many implications in so many different areas. In fact, it has everything to do with why we're even hosting this space. Honoring people and helping people see themselves the way God sees them is about why we even make the effort to even be here. And that's a part of my identity. And if the enemy can take me down in these little small nibbly ways, then he can keep that part of my identity hidden and I never overcome. So isn't that fun? That we have these areas in our life that have been nipping at our heels and we were made to overcome it. So, we're doing great on time. Who would like to volunteer? Hang on, before you raise your hand. Who would like to volunteer there? Oh, hang on, I'm feeling the Lord pause me. So think about it, here's what you're gonna be volunteering for. Who would like to volunteer their situation? Okay? So their thing that is a repeated failure, just appropriate for all ages. We'll do the other ones separate. But before we do that, when I saw that there was something actively pressing to keep me forgetful, to keep me in a pattern of dishonoring, I was able to go to Greg and say, I now recognize that this dishonors you. And I'm sorry that I agreed with something negative, which was that I felt like it was pointless. And that helped lock in my partnership with something that was pushing on our marriage. So I got to disagree that it was pointless, because is honor pointless? No. So does it matter if it's a gas receipt that's the way to get there? I don't care what it takes. I am going to win in this place.
And now she writes little happy notes on almost all of the receipts that say, I heart you, I love you, little smiling faces inside the heart. It's ridiculous, and I love it. And I'm addicted to it.
Oh, yeah. I still
do. Our children have any miles around?
No, it does not.
We have the older model.
My old Saab used to. Remember those days?
I do remember those days. Those were good days. Good times. Good times with the vendors and the Saab. So, it's a and every time you see that receipt, it honors you. Yeah? Right. And it's a building thing. And every time I remember to do it, which is almost every single time, there is such a reinforcement that I am able, I am capable, and nothing can hold me back. Nothing can stop me. Because, by the way, I know that my spirit has perfect memory. By the way, I know that my spirit is fully able in every circumstance and in every situation. And I'm not ever going to say, oh, I have a bad memory. Oh, I'm just not able to do that. I'm not going to make those conclusions, because that's my old nature. My new nature is fully able with Christ. So I'm going to agree with that, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit prove to me who I really am, rather than let the enemy prove to me who I am. And by the way, I also don't take my past performance as an indicator of who I am. There is a certain point where we have to step over the line from our past and go, I am done with that. And it no longer gets to speak to me. How I was raised no longer gets to speak to me. How I was treated no longer gets to speak to me. Past relationships no longer get to speak to me. I am ready to move forward. Woo! Right? Okay, so who would like to volunteer? Because this is going to be part of our prophetic practice. And by the way, one of our little miracles that we had happen today, we were in the car, and Abraham said, are we going to do the flashlight lights before or after our prophetic practice, Mom? My eight-year-old is just flipping around the phrase, prophetic practice. Like, how cool. I didn't even know that that existed until I was, like, in my 20s or 30s, that you could even, like, just agree with God about what he's doing in a situation. Now, my son at eight just, like, wants to know whether or not we're doing flashlights up our nose before or after that. That's so good. Okay, so who would like to volunteer their situation? Okay, anyone else have one?
Please tell me it's not the mileage thing. All right.
Okay.
Well, he's a much more loving.
That's unreasonable.
Dan says that's unreasonable. That's hilarious. Okay, I'm going to take a picture of the board. We're going to wipe the board and start from scratch. I know, finally, right? Okay. Greg's going to wipe the board. I'm going to get a drink of water.
We need more stuff.
And,
here.
Okay, where's your mic? I'm going to give it to Christy. This is part of our prophetic practice, so everyone get out your index card. Because you're going to work on listening to the Lord and what he has to say about this situation. If you want to hear from the Lord about your situation, use one side about your situation and one side for Christy's situation, because this is an atmosphere where it is easy to hear from the Lord. All right, Christy, go ahead.
So I guess I'll share my unreasonable expectation that I have. I expect Dan to never be sick, and so therefore what I hear is that I'm not compassionate, I'm not understanding, I'm mean and hateful because he should never be sick, and when he does, it's, oh, give me a break, you're overdoing it, you're just wanting to be lazy or thoughts. And I know that none of those things are true, but...
Okay, so you come under all kinds of yuck when Dan gets sick. You described a little bit about how you feel about Dan when he gets sick. How do you feel? How do you feel when Dan is sick about you?
The biggest one is not compassionate, unloving, unsympathetic.
And Dan's nodding his head. And how do you feel? I'm trying to think of how I can phrase this. How does it make you feel when your partner in life is sick? Like, do you feel like you just continue on with your day? Do you feel like everything halts and stops? Do you feel like you don't have support? What's that about?
Dan does a ton in our marriage, and so then I guess I feel like I have to do those extra things. So I'm really grateful that he does all those things.
Okay, so now we're getting to the heart of it. Did you hear the shift? Okay, so this isn't just about how she feels about Dan. This is about how she feels in the space where Dan is sick, which is...
I carry him all the way.
Okay, yeah. So Greg's going to grab another column. Same. Do you feel that you have to do more? What else? Anything else? Because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I don't know. I feel like it's mostly how I feel towards him during that situation. And I don't even know that I necessarily do more or do...
Do you resent it?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're
just
resentful.
So dumb.
It's okay. Hey, this is the
try gas receipts.
He's blowing a gasket over a gas receipt. I'm blowing a gasket over not having written the thing on it. You would think I would just write the thing on it so as to not have the fight. Except for that I can't seem to remember to write the thing on it.
I just want to ignore him. Like, find whatever get better. Of us when you're done being sick. So horrible.
No, it's common.
So ignoring him is actually, if you'll grab one more marker, that's one for coping. No, it's good. You know, that's one of her, how can I navigate around this? How can I deal with it? I will ignore him. Do you see how this is? You go from, here's what the negative pressure is in this circumstance. My husband is sick. Okay, my husband is sick. Here's the negativity that lands on me. Here's how I try to behavior modify my way, which is ignore it. What, anything else? Anybody else feel frustrated when other people are sick? Some people become super compassionate and some people do not. Sometimes you do something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Heather,
suck
anything
it up.
That you do to cope because other people are sick and you're ticked about it? I actually question whether or not they're milking it. So, put question seriousness.
Over here?
Probably here.
Ooh, it's an inconvenience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Inconvenience, yes.
Inconvenience.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think for me personally, I get resentful when I get too much attention. For me personally.
Uh-huh.
So, when I get sick, I want to be like...
So you pretend, or you want to... Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to roll over and just be left alone. And so when people bring me chicken noodle soup or... bringing medicine, I'm like, if I wanted those things, I would have had them got it.
Uh-huh.
So, for me, it's frustrating when I'm sick. I just want to be left alone until I get sick or until I get over it.
Right.
So when I get people in my life that are over compassionate, I get resentful towards them.
Interesting. That's interesting. So I want you to write coping right up here.
So
nice. Yeah.
I feel a little contrary with me. It really has something to do with me doing things for him. For some reason, I'm scared to do things for him. And
well, he is perfect in almost every way.
He's my very confidence.
So you started to tear up with that.
Well, he doesn't see me.
Hang on, Eli. Give her a second. Give her a second to think it through.
My original thing that I wrote down, I'm trying to reword this a little bit, but I always expect him to do things for me.
Here's our question to ask the Lord. Our question, because my question is, what is it that's causing me to be forgetful every time? And it was an actual presence in the atmosphere causing me to be forgetful. There is something pressing. And does it feel, this is the fun of taking a risk. And everyone so let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, this is like every kind of breakthrough that I've ever had, which is I have a little bit of insight, a little bit of picture of what it is, and then I have absolutely no clue. But then you, Holy Spirit, just come and illuminate the situation, and you kind of break it open, and you want to show me who I am. And so we're all just going to partner with you and stand for Christy to have a breakthrough, because her breakthrough is actually our breakthrough too. So let's just take a moment and listen. So the question that is coming to my mind may or may not be accurate to your situation, but this is what's coming to my mind. Does anyone here ever feel like when someone else gets sick, and Christy, maybe you too, a little bit abandoned when that person gets sick? Mm-hmm. Is that a feeling that resonates with you? Is it a little bit of an abandonment? And does doing something for someone almost reinforce that abandonment? I have no idea what that was. I don't think it was a super bad split in.
So, you know, when they're sick, we're it's an added person to take care of. Not only that, that's one more thing to add to your
it's a, there, I think what you're speaking to is a comfort zone. And it's, and so I think there's something in that that you're speaking to. I don't know if it's about Christy, but I hear it and I feel it. So I think that's a really good thing to contribute to the conversation. That's really good. Thank you. It's like a, put like a change of roles, and I'm not sure where to put that on there, but maybe over here. Okay, go ahead, Heather.
What came to my mind was the love languages and you feel loved by him doing things for you, but then when he's sick, he can't, and so your love tank is a little low. It's hard to give out of an empty love tank. So, like, I know I'm more likely to give love when I feel filled up with him. But if the partner is unable to because they're sick, then there's some resentment that goes, like, not only do I not feel love, but now I have to serve you. When I need, I feel like I need to be served.
So
I think, well, I wouldn't say selfishness, just we feel loved in different ways. So.
But is it really love that you're talking about? Because it sounds like selfishness. Not really love. But that's kind of
what I'm hearing. Okay, so put selfishness over here. Here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if there is a hurt attached to, often if we have something that we find ourselves unable to step into, it is often because we've been hurt when we took that risk before. I don't know if there's a hurt that might be attached to taking the risk of loving someone well in a certain type of circumstance. But I'm... part of who you are, and so we'll end with this, and then we'll just kind of keep exploring this. Part of who you are, Christy, is to love those who are unable to do anything for themselves. It's a part of what God's been talking to you about, is loving unlovable, loving incapable people, praying for and standing for incapable and unlovable people, right, who are unwell. That's a part of your identity. So it's interesting that this is a dynamic that's happening in your marriage. There's something there that the Lord wants to unwrap because it's very much connected to that part of your identity as well.
Wow.
Part of Christy's identity is to stand for both victims and those who have been abusers to have total healing and restoration. And I think that part of your identity is being touched in this situation. What do you think? Okay. So we're going to just bless you and thank you for taking a risk. Like, that was a big risk to open yourself up to everybody's perspectives and ideas. I mean, that's a big deal. So I thought that the conversation was amazing. Like, there's, here's the negative things that continue to swirl around it. Here's some of the things that we do to cope with it. And then the Lord is going to start to walk us into the revelation. But the connection between that part of your identity and this part of your marriage, isn't that crazy? That's like a, isn't that, it's like God uses these tiny things in our lives to leverage them into major parts of our identity that impact the world around us. And that's why it's so fun to not ignore the little things that are nipping us at the heels, because they are hiding key parts of our identity that really matter. Key parts of our identity that are significant in the earth, don't you think? Yeah. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So, yay! We are going to end now, but we have about 15 minutes to do prophetic practice. So what I'd like to do, and Jocelyn, do you know where the taboo cards are? We are going to, you can either use a picture or a card, but we are going to ask everyone to take a moment, if you're willing to take the risk, turn to another person in the room, hand them your card, and ask them if they would listen to the Lord and give you a word. here's the thing. This is practice. It's not perfect. It's practice. You know, like the first time I played lacrosse, I was not very good and I couldn't keep the ball in the net. Like that wasn't, you know, so I practiced. So if someone gives you a word and it was not so great, the ball didn't get in the net, okay? No big deal. Go to someone else and get another word, right? That's the whole point of practice, is to get to learn how to hear the word clearly. So Jocelyn's gonna pull out little cards that have words on them. Don't even worry about it. Just grab a card, hand it to somebody and go, would you give me a word? Or grab one of the picture cards off the back table and ask someone if they give you a word. We have a few minutes to do that. And we have coffee in the back and fireballs because, you know,
that's what we
it's Pentecost Sunday. There's a fire. I didn't do that on purpose. I'm just making it up.
Yes, I also thought that, you know, we were in the inner room where Jason found us.
Yes.
With the lights.
We were in the inner room with flashing lights.
It was
so
hilarious.
It's
so not the Pentecost.
It's not. It's so not. Dueling banjos, the Pentecost does not make, you know, not even close. Right, we did have flaming noses.
What announcements do we have?
Oh, we have offering in the back for those of you who support what it is that God's doing here.
Yep.
And what else do we have as an announcement?
Not sure.
We are continuing through the summer on Sundays at 5:05.
4:04.
I'm sorry, 4:04. It's a good thing you drive the car. And it's a good thing apparently I'm not running the gas mileage on that time. 4:04. I keep doing that, right? 4:04. We're continuing on Sundays. What else?
Yeah.
Our women's.
If you forget, Desert Outpouring.
And if you know anyone who's really interested in a women's group, My Tribe is starting at the end of August. We're super excited about that. So that will be weekly on Tuesday mornings. Wahoo! At 9:30 in the morning. So if you know someone you think might want to be a part of that, feel free. Okay.
Bless everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Papa. Holy Spirit and Jesus, the three of you, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to talk about the three of you. You're so amazing. I'm so glad that you love to live this life with us. And I hear you saying, I'm so glad you like to live this life with us. So we just say yes. We say yes to becoming even more awakened to your presence this week. And we receive the blessing that you want to give. I feel you giving this blessing, Jesus, that you bless us. You bless us to go out, to be the salt, to be the light, to be the good news of the gospel, to awaken people to their goodness, to the goodness of God, to be the outpouring of God's goodness in every situation and every circumstance. So, Father, we thank you that you release a spirit of wisdom and revelation to speak to every circumstance and situation, that Christy's situation is going to be an unfolding revelation, and that even the index cards that were written on today, Lord, you want to speak to those. There's a reason why we wrote them down, because you want to have that conversation. You don't want hidden things to remain hidden in our lives anymore. So, Lord, we say yes to turning full on into the sun, and saying yes to our new nature. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you love to do that with us. Amen. Go out and have a blessed week. Woo!